Welcome to the Soul Mason Show!
Welcome to the Phil Mason Show. That was John Fogerty, Centerfield, on the Tuesday, April the 9th, 2013 edition of the Phil Mason Show. And I must tell you, it is Fantasy Baseball Tuesday. Great, great reports, great feedback from this show. And today, we'll be joined by Nick Falk from RotoWire. He and I will be talking about second base and shortstop options for you, even though your draft is probably well underway or finished by now. I'm still going to give you a bunch of names. But up first, from Fantasy Baseball Cracker Jacks, fantasy baseball writer, Mr. Eric Fleiss. Eric, welcome to the show. What's up, dude? How are you?
Well, thanks for having me. First week of baseball, kind of under our, in our belts, or however you say that. It's exciting. You know, I think a lot of times right now, guys are watching their team every day, agonizing over roster decisions, because with so few at-bats and so few data into your league so far, you can move all around the standings just after a couple of at-bats or a couple of games. So it's an exciting time for fantasy owners, and I think just kind of one thing, just the overarching theme early in the season is just be patient, don't panic. You know, 1 week of games is not going to make or break your season. You know, if you're watching the waiver wire, maybe some guys in your league are going to panic, make some dumps early, some guys that you maybe could then pick up, store on your bench for a few weeks that are going to rebound. So just stay the course right now. You know, do your research, find some guys, you know, find out what's happening with guys that are struggling, find out why they're struggling or why they're doing well. But don't make any drastic moves right now because it's early. A lot of things are going to happen, and there is a ton of baseball left to go.
Absolutely. There's 20 weeks left. I mean, you know, that is that odd, though, that people do that. Right away, they're jumping the gun. Now, I get it when they're playing in the big cash leagues, but those guys are more patient because they understand the game a little better. But, yeah, you see that all the time. In fact, we're recording this, folks, on Wednesday, the 3rd of April. This is the only chance that Eric and I could do this segment. So what we're going to do is just talk about fantasy baseball with you a little bit. We'll give you some names, what we think you should look for. You know, not to just jump on because they got hot on opening day or the second day of the season, but names for you to just kind of listen to, maybe names that you haven't quite heard of yet who did do well. But, yeah, it's amazing. I've got every one of my drafts finished except for one I have to do late tonight because we draft during the first week as a rule. But it never ceases to amaze me. Even in drafts, you see this too. You see guys are already ready to make trades after the third or fourth round. You see in that little chat box if you're doing it online, hey, anybody want an outfielder trade? You know, I'm thinking, well, wait a second now. There are a lot of viable options out there. Why would you trade before the season begins? Unless, of course, it's something serious. I mean, if somebody wants to offer me Justin Verlander, I'll listen. But I don't like to make any moves the first couple of weeks. What about you?
You know, I agree with you. I like to at least wait 2 weeks before I make any real trades, unless I'm talking about dealing some prospects. I play in a couple of dynasty leagues, and you know, when you're talking about minor league players who aren't going to necessarily be with your team for a year or 2 years, now really you can be okay making those trades because you're talking about future value. You're not doing anything to affect the team that you have rostered right now or what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. So I'm okay making some of those trades. I'm already in some discussions about what I'm going to do with my shortstop of the future, Carlos Correa. But for now, that's all that I'm talking about. Major league roster, it's just set. I'm going to watch out for any key injuries that might force me to make some adjustments. But other than that, I'm just going to manage my roster as it is. Let guys build value, let other superstars on other guys' teams lose value, and then use those changes in value to my advantage and start talking trades after, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah, keeper leagues, dynasty leagues, that's one thing. You're always making trades because you're trying to build for the future always, you know, and that's the thing, as well as trying to win in the present, like real baseball. But these, I'm talking about just general mixed leagues, 10-teamers, 25-man rosters, and you see it a lot, and people panic, man, really panic.
Yeah, you know, especially in those 10-team mixed leagues, when you have such a gigantic pool of players, there's going to be a ton of very valuable guys on the waiver wire. And so some guys are going to see, you know, the third starter for the Indians win his first two games out of nowhere and get a bunch of strikeouts, and they're going to start dropping players off their roster who are projected and long-term fantasy winners. And they're going to be making those waiver wire changes, and you're going to be able to clean up their clippings just by paying attention to what's on the waiver wire. You're not even going to have to make trades and give up any real value off your own team. You know, so let other owners be the first ones to make the move, because you're right, there's not a lot that these first couple weeks can really tell you about a player outside of an injury or some bizarre roster construction where they're not necessarily all of a sudden going to get the playing time they were expected to have. So really just sit tight, enjoy your team, enjoy getting back into the routine of baseball, and then be ready to pounce if some potential trade offers do come your way after a couple of weeks.
That's exactly right. And you'd be surprised what you can pick up just by watching people panic. And that's the best advice you can ever give, Eric, is don't panic. Keep an eye on those guys. You know what? It's funny. I watched guys take the starters and just play starter pool every day. You know, pick a new starter every day based on who they think is hot. You know, there's a reason that these guys are fifth starters on a fourth place team. I mean, anyone can get hot once in a while. Everyone gets hot in the major leagues once in a while. But consistency rules the day in fantasy baseball. I'll tell you something. You know, a lot of people were really high on R.A. Dickey. And last year, I told you how it came down for me last year. I stole him on every league that I had because nobody drafted him. And I just waited and waited and waited and waited. And then after the first week, snatched him in all my rosters because I had a feeling based on what I saw in the spring. Now, he didn't do so hot his first night out with Toronto. In fact, his catcher, Arencibia, set a major league record for pass balls. I think that's going to be an issue all season long in Toronto, don't you?
Yeah, it was kind of amazing to watch. It was almost like they didn't work together at all in spring training. I mean, Arencibia just looked lost back there, you know, and if they're keeping snaps for wild pitches or pass balls when there's no one on base, that number would have been even higher, you know, because balls were just going past the catcher left and right, you know, bouncing this way, or it's just like he wasn't ready to move or wasn't able to respond to it. You know, sure, part of that is that how good Dickey's knuckleball is. It's just moving and bouncing around. But, you know, he ended up getting roughed up for a few runs and, you know, not having a great start to the season. But if they're not able to figure out how to catch him and how to, you know, not give those free bases away, you know, they're going to be in a lot of trouble going forward. So I'm sure they'll be working on that. They'll have Arencibia doing some extra drills or whatever. But they just can't afford to let that continue, especially if they're going to get into some tight games. And, you know, what are you going to do if there's a runner on third in a one-run game? You know, maybe it's the seventh inning and you're thinking about maybe you want to take Dickey out, but he's your best option right there. You know, all of a sudden doubt starts creeping into your mind. You're making, you know, bullpen moves that you don't necessarily need to if you could trust that your catcher is able to, you know, field his position.
You know, the thing is when they made that trade, the Mets traded their catcher from last year, Josh Tolley and Blanco, to the Blue Jays. Two guys who've caught Dickey in the past, neither of them they used, and they paid the price. And that's something to keep an eye on, is Josh Tolley, if he gets called up, you know that this is going to be a little better. Josh Tolley is an awful catcher, but at least he does have some experience with Dickey, lots of it, in fact. He caught Dickey's back-to-back one-hitters last year. And Blanco's another guy. But this kid was stabbing at, it was like he was stabbing in the dark. And that's not good for anyone who has R.A. Dickey as a fantasy pitcher on his roster. Keep an eye on that. But he's definitely on the who's not list. You know, another guy who had a tough time was Parker from the A's. He really had a tough time, didn't he?
Yeah, and I would not jump ship on him yet. I don't think that there's necessarily anything there that would scare me off of him. Again, it's early in the year, but just doing some quick looking this morning at roster trends, you know, he's one of the guys, at least in Yahoo leagues, who's at the top of the list as far as guys who are getting dropped. You know, he's still a guy that's owned in a vast, vast majority of leagues. So, I mean, it's not like people are just giving up on him, but he was just being dropped left and right. And both the leagues that I'm still in, in Yahoo, none of the guys have gotten rid of him, I think rightly so. He's a guy who is going to be a part of that good Oakland team. Oakland's going to win a lot of games. He's going to be the beneficiary of some of those wins and pick up some extra stats there. So I'm not too worried about him getting roughed up in his first outing. But again, the thing maybe that is a little bit concerning is just one strikeout and three walks. I don't think that's who he is. That's not who he's shown to be in the past. But, you know, maybe he just had an off day. Maybe he was overamped for the first start of the season, you know, whatever it was. You know, maybe he was a little bit intimidated going up against Felix Hernandez on the other side. But, you know, whatever it is, whatever happens, you know, I think he'll get better. And I would be willing to stick with him, you know, even if he goes through four or five poor starts to start the year, because he is going to get better and he's not going to be that player. So maybe you put him on your bench, you start someone else for a couple of weeks, wait to see what happens. But I'm confident in his abilities going forward.
Jared Parker's a keeper. he had a tough time. And that's just it, is that people go, oh, because Jared Parker doesn't have a big name like King Felix or whatever. But you hit the nail on the head. You know, you have to consider also, like you said, is these guys are pitching against, well, basically like a living legend. And it's opening day, and there's a lot of things going on there. Jitters, what have you. And don't forget, Oakland didn't hit for him either. You know, that doesn't help much either. But needless to say, that's a tough one. I looked over on ESPN today, and I said, oh, my Lord, people were dropping him already. It's amazing how they drop these guys. And I'm like, damn. I would hope they, you know, if somebody dropped, let me ask you this. If you're playing in a mixed league and someone dropped R.A. Dickey this week, or let's say R.A. Dickey has, because I don't think anybody's going to drop him after 1 week. Maybe they will. But if anyone dropped him after the second, say he does the same thing again, and someone in your league drops him, are you going to be all over him? Because I think I would be.
Yeah, I'm putting a claim on him as fast as I can. Even if I maybe think he's not going to have match anything close to what he did last year, you got to put him on your roster, because you could just wait until he rebounds, because he will have some good starts in Toronto. I mean, he can't continue to be bad all year. He's got the knuckleball working. He's going to get strikeout. He's going to win some games. So if you just hang on to him a while, that value is going to rebound. And all of a sudden, now you have a great player that you got off the waiver wire. And you can, if you don't necessarily trust him, you then can move him, because his value is right back where it was. You know, he's the reigning Cy Young for a reason. So, you know, do something with him. Move him around. But to drop him now or after two starts is, you know, there's just no reason to panic that much. Like I said, don't panic. Sit back. Enjoy baseball. Let your team work, because essentially the guys you have now are going to be the same guys 2 weeks from now. And there's no reason to get too excited just because of a cold start to the year.
That's great advice, man. That's awesome advice. You're absolutely right. I'll tell you something. There's a reason to get excited. I was pretty jacked. I drafted Mike Morse from Seattle in opening day. And this is one of the reasons Jared Parker had such a rough time, because Mike Morse hit a couple of shots. And I'm thinking, wow, we got something here. Well, you were high on Mike Morse before, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is going to benefit from the change of scenery moving from the Nationals out to Seattle. He's going to benefit a little bit, to whatever degree, from those fences coming in when he does finally get to playing some home games up there in Safeco. But, you know, here's a guy, two home runs. You know, he's hot as can be. He's, you know, the Mariners certainly, I think, are going to be a decent team. I don't think anyone thinks that they could challenge for a wild card, even in that stacked AL West. But they're going to be a team that could be around 500. They're going to be streaky, as we saw. You know, they can win a bunch of games in a row. They can lose a bunch of games in a row. But they have talent. And Michael Morse is just one of those guys who they loaded up this season with first base DH types. They're going to have power in that lineup. And so I think we're just seeing kind of the early stages, the benefits of what the Mariners did this offseason. Now, again, we don't know what's their pitching staff going to do going forward. How will they handle those adjusted fences when they start playing some more home games? But for now, you know, it just enjoy the ride. He's hot now. If he continues to be hot for a few more weeks, then all of a sudden you maybe have a pretty valuable little player on your hands that you necessarily didn't give up a lot for to draft or auction.
I didn't give up hardly any. I think I got him for $2.
Yeah, great buy.
Great buy right now. It's the first week. But still, he's hot. I'll tell you who's hot. And this is a guy I think people should be high on, or at least keep an eye on, is Pete Kosma from St. Louis, the shortstop. He had a pretty nice night, opening night. And there were a lot of concerns about him hitting the ball at the major league level. And he started out okay. You know, I wouldn't run to the waiver wire just yet. But he's someone definitely to keep an eye on, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy really made a name for himself with the Cardinals, you know, as a World Series kind of guy, came in and give him some postseason success out of nowhere. You know, I think he's going to continue to kind of move around the diamond, second base, shortstop. You know, the Cardinals are having some injury issues there in their infield. So he's going to get at-bats. He's going to be able to move around and play some baseball, but I wouldn't expect him, you know, to continue to be this hot all year long. You know, last year he hit all of 2 home runs in, you know, just 26 games, but, you know, he's already got 1 this year. You know, he's already got a walk, you know, but he does still have 3 strikeouts in 2 games. So he's going to have, that's going to continue to be an issue with him going forward. And unless he can get that out of there, maybe make some adjustments as he gets some more playing time and gets more adjusted to the major league level. But not a guy I put a lot of stock in already. I mean, he's someone, maybe if he continues to have a few hot weeks, maybe he's a good guy that you can start throwing out there as trade bait, because you're not necessarily expecting him to do great, but some of the other owners in your league might be buying into him early on, and then you can flip him.
That's exactly right. Especially if you're doing well and you have one player on your team that isn't, and everybody's looking at you and wondering what it is you're doing, and you snatch this kid, you might be able to get yourself a pitcher for him.
I mean, you could get something for him, because Pete Cosma's not necessarily a guy that you rostered on your team to be in your starting lineup every day anyways. You know, if Pete Cosma is one of your starting middle infielders, something went terribly wrong in your draft this year. You know, so you've got bigger problems, and then he can maybe then help you solve one of those problems by moving him to get a better piece.
You know what, we've got about 5.5 minutes left, Eric. Or 6 minutes, actually. Let's give them a couple sleepers. I know that you're big on that. You're very good at this. Who have you seen so far that it's probably available just about in every league that folks might want to keep an eye on? Because I've got a couple that might surprise you. We'll see.
Well, maybe a guy that I haven't seen yet, but I still think he's pretty widely available in leagues, is the Marlins' Jose Fernandez. I think we heard a lot of noise about this at the tail end of last week, but this is a guy that the Marlins are essentially calling up from A-ball. You know, he was playing in the Florida State League last year, but with some holes in their pitching staff and no real candidates to fill the spot, the Mariners are calling up, you know, youngster Jose Fernandez to be part of their starting pitching staff. And it sounds like they're, as long as he is at least marginally successful, they're going to stick with him for the entire year. So here's a guy you could potentially claim off waivers, get for essentially nothing, and he could be a fifth starter for the Marlins all year long. Now, granted, he's a young kid. He'll probably struggle early on. He'll definitely rack up a bunch of losses as part of that Marlins team. But if he figures it out halfway through the year, or he starts, you know, being the player that is, you know, if he hits his ceiling, essentially you could have a really, really good player on your team and a guy that probably a week ago wasn't on anybody's draft boards. So definitely he's a guy that I would target. And then maybe someone else, and I wouldn't say that he's likely to be available in any leagues, but a guy that I would maybe keep my eye on, if I have him, I'm excited that I have him right now. If not, I'm looking to acquire him in the near future, and that's Jeff Samardzija. He came out in his Cubs, you know, the first Cubs game for him of the year, and, you know, he pitched 8 strong innings. Double-digit strikeouts. He looked fantastic. So I think he's a guy, if nothing else, keep your eye on him. Learn to spell his name, Samardzija, Samardzija. Get used to it, because he's going to be a guy that's really going to be, I think, a breakout candidate this year.
Those are excellent. I'll tell you, I've got a couple too. One would be the right fielder from the New York Mets, in fact, Marlon Byrd. You know, don't forget, 3 years ago, he was an all-star for the Chicago Cubs. He had an issue last year with performance-enhancing drugs, lost 50 games, never got a stroke back, but he's been raking the entire season, and he came out and played his backside off on Monday night, swung the bat real well. Marlon Byrd is owned in 0.06% of fantasy baseball leagues. That's a good guy to get. I would take him in a heartbeat if he continues. I mean, I wouldn't take him today, but if he continues, I like the way he is. He's good at bats. Every time I've seen him, and it's only been about 7 times this season, unfortunately, but those times I saw he was taking pitches, he was working the count, and he was getting on base. That was a good guy to have. You know, there's another guy, Gerardo Parra from the Diamondbacks, is 1.9% owned. And he's another kid who you want to keep an eye on, watch him like a hawk, and just see what he does. You know, we're just working off one night. You know, I think he's going to be okay, though. He looks really good. And then, of course, we have, and I can't even say this kid's first name, as a pitcher from Colorado, the Rockies, Joels Chachin. I can't even pronounce this kid's name. He is going to be some kind of pitcher, and I may just get him today. 1.1% owned in ESPN's league, and he's all yours if you want him. Because I think he's going to be all right. Because my thing is always this. Even the lousiest team is going to win at least 50 games, 45 games. The lousiest team. And even on the lousiest teams, there are going to be people who are going to play well and perform well. And I like to try to watch for those guys. And I think that's probably where I'm at. Anything else today?
Well, you know, I like that Marlon Byrd pick because he's a guy that's widely available. You can get him in just about any league. But the Mets don't have a lot of outfield options. I mean, essentially, they're running out one of the worst outfields in all of baseball. And so if Marlon Byrd can produce at any level, not necessarily all-star levels like he was a couple years ago, but at any type of level above replacement level, he's going to get at-bats all year long. You know, there's no one that's going to steal at-bats from him. He's just going to continue to be in there and get playing time. So if he can get a hot start, he essentially will have assured him a spot on the roster at least through the All-Star game. So a good guy to look at. And then Gerardo Parra with the Diamondbacks. I think we talked last week. I said they were a sneaky good ball club. You know, and so if they're winning games, he's going to be able to be part of that, what should be a pretty decent offense. It's a hitter-friendly park out there in Arizona, so a guy that definitely has a lot of upside. But like you said, maybe you don't want to grab him today, but if he continues to hit well, don't sit on him too long because someone else is going to be watching him too, listen to this podcast and making moves.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, great stuff today, Eric. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Phil, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll see you next week, man. Anyway, you can find Eric over at fantasybaseballcrackerjacks.com or in about 5,000 or 6,000 other websites that he writes for. Coming up next, Nick Falk will be here from RotoWire to finish up our fantasy baseball preview of middle infielders, second basemen, and shortstops. And we'll be right back. This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com. Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com. Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. Hi, this is Phil Nason from The Phil Nason Show and This Week in Tennis. When I'm looking for sports information, my first stop, as well as yours should be, sports-kings.com. Great information, scores, highlights, and exceptional commentary. You can find it all there at sports-kings.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
tonight we come together.
Cool. And I think it's cool.
I'd rather see someone do that than put something on that's, well, just crap. It's all about
tonight. Bill Nason.
Some of the things that these people say.
Tom Donahue.
There is no nonsense here. This isn't knucklehead theater.
Jimmy Z.
That is such twisted logic.
Alex Jones.
You heard it here first. Now it's mainstream news. Yeah, tomorrow can
wait till tomorrow. Ah, it's a lot of fun. I said tomorrow can wait till
tomorrow. It's all about tonight. And we'll have fun, I promise.
Weeknights, starting at 10 Eastern on the Talk Superstation. It's all about tonight.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. It is Tuesday afternoon, April the 9th, 2013, and on the line, on the Skype line with me, is our good friend from rotowire.com, Mr. Nick Falk. Nick, welcome to the show. How are you, man? Good to have you back.
Good. Thanks again for having me. Oh. Good to be back.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We get great feedback from these shows. A lot of people listen to this show and are happy with what we're telling them. You know, we're not getting the big time professionals over here probably, but we get a lot of first and second and third year players who are just looking for that extra, and we're happy to provide that, and you do a great job, and I thank you so much. Anyway.
Thanks. Glad I can help.
It's my pleasure. It's our pleasure. Yeah, really. Anyway, you and I were going to work last week, but you know, you young fellas in your spring break, it's all good. Let's talk second baseman. Most people have already drafted, but it's still good to talk. We'll do second baseman and shortstops. We'll cover the middle guys. You know, the first tier top guys, Robinson Cano, Dustin Pedroia, Ian Kinsler, Jason Kipnis from Cleveland, Aaron Hill from Arizona, and probably Brandon Phillips from Cincinnati, although I think Brandon's injured right now, right?
Yeah, I think he's dealing with a little day-to-day thing. That's definitely the top tier.
Top tier. I wouldn't, you know, even though Ben Zobrist is raking right now, do you consider him a top tier guy? Because you did the Rays review over at RotoWire. Do you consider him a top tier guy?
I think he's got good value. I think if he's just graded upon being a second baseman, maybe he's not as rated as high. But the fact that he can play multiple positions is he's going to be eligible in the outfield at second base. And I'm not positive. He may still have shortstop eligibility from the previous season. And then they're going to be working him out occasionally at first base, too. So it gives him a lot of added value, I think, with that. But I think just graded solely as second at one position, he's not the top, but his versatility kind of boosts him at every position a little bit.
Yeah, you know something? You want to laugh? Currently?
Sure.
Currently? Now, this is where people get in trouble, I think. But currently, none of those names are in the top five currently in fantasy baseball statistics. Now, what do you say to someone who goes, wait a second now, these guys over at RotoWire and other places, they rate the Robinson Canos and the Ian Kinslers and the Dustin Pedroias as these top guys. How come they're not? What do you say to that person?
I think of it kind of like when I'm even drafting my baseball team, it's kind of like removing the day-to-day emotion of how they perform, because it's like, grading over the long term, they're going to statistically perform. I mean, there's guys that have off years and things, but just the length of the season, every week will be a different story. Like, as like kind of jumping positions here, but like Chris Davis has had this historic start, but he may go the next 2 or 3 weeks without recording a home run or a hit too. So it's just kind of how it's, you got to just kind of remove emotion, I guess, and just build a team for the long term. What you can win with, I think, is the best strategy.
Hey, jumping gears is okay, because really we're in this, we're in the role now of advice and who's hot, who's not. But and don't worry, you can talk all about that young fella from Baltimore, because he raked for me this week.
Oh yeah.
Oh my. Great start. I was like, oh Maron. But guys like Dustin Pedroia and Ian Kinsler and Jason Kipnis and obviously Robinson Cano, Aaron Hill, Brandon Phillips when he's healthy, these guys over the course of the season, like you say, are going to be consistent, whereas these other guys go up and down like they're on a seesaw, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. And like Cano will be for sure, like he's kind of the most safe fire, and he'll, in most leagues he's gone. In both my leagues, I think he went fourth overall, so he's a little tough to grab, especially unless you're in that draft position. But those guys generally will do very well. And Kipnis is very, I think he's probably the most well-rounded in that grouping because of his stolen base capability. He's got solid power. He's a pretty young guy. And he can, I mean, we haven't projected for, early projections were 17 home runs and 27 stolen bases. And he's in a rejuvenated Cleveland lineup, which the last few days hasn't hit very well, but I think they're a high strikeout team, but I think long term he has the chance to be a solid run producer at the top of the order, and he'll have the opportunity to score, that's for sure, with his speed.
You just made a great point too, is that these guys aren't hitting behind them. You're not looking for Jason Kipnis to hit 30 home runs and steal 100 or 50 bases, but you're looking for, especially from him, you're looking for stolen bases, 25 at least. You're looking for runs he's going to score. He'll probably score 100 runs in that lineup, but when they're not hitting, he can't score. And that's what, and people get nervous about that, and you have to be patient and look. It's not just him.
Yeah.
You know, there's other factors involved in why they're doing what it is they're doing. Now, if you had to pick a couple of second basemen that you really like so far, who would they be?
Oh, that's a tough choice. I've kind of, I've had Brandon Phillips in the past, and I think he's kind of shown that he's going to be pretty steady. Like, I think he's hit, I want to say like 18 home runs, like right at that number or close to it, multiple seasons in a row. So he's pretty durable. But I actually like guys like, Danny Espinosa is a decent somebody you can get later on. We have him ranked like ninth in our initial rankings. And he has the chance to really add like the counting numbers, I guess you would call it, for multiple categories. He'll hit around 20-plus home runs. He's got good power. And then he also is a threat to steal 20 bases. And his batting average sometimes will be a little lower, but I think it's a decent trade-off for a position that doesn't generate the type of power that the corner infield and corner outfield positions will generate. And I guess another one that's kind of, I'm still trying to decide on is Chase Utley seems to be pretty healthy returning, and of course long term the season can wear on you and guys have hot starts and can fade, but it's good to see him looking more like his old self this season, and in a lineup that hasn't really produced a whole lot quite yet, but he looks pretty good, I think, to start the season.
Yeah, I like that pick. You know who I like right now? He's my favorite second baseman, period. He's one of my favorite players in all of baseball. Someone you'll appreciate is Ricky Weeks. You know, I've been waiting for him to bust out, because a couple years ago he really stepped up at times. You know, he's very erratic, though. But a lot of that has to do with his injuries, I think. But right now he's 8-19. He's got one home run already. You know, he's just getting it done. And he's someone, I drafted him in the seventh round, and I was stunned that he was still there. You know, I think this guy can play. The other guy that's interesting to me is Jose Altuve from Houston. He's another one. He's probably hasn't gone too far in your drafts, but he's 8 of 20 right off the bat. I mean, he's getting on base. He's not getting big numbers, but he's getting on base. And that's people I really like to see. Ben Zobrist is having a freaking great time, isn't he? He's really having a great opening week. And then the other guy, Mark Ellis from the Dodgers, I like him too. So there are so many options out there. Gordon Beckham from Chicago White Sox, he's probably available in most of your leagues now. These are people to look at if you're unhappy, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think like I really like Weeks as well. Last season, he I think the first half he was really hampered by the ankle injury he suffered at the end of 2011. And you could tell his second half numbers are significantly stronger. And just off the bat, he's already had a few stolen base attempts. And that guy has so much power. I mean, the home run he hit the other day was like, it was like a laser straight into the left field bleacher. So he's got a lot of power. Altuve, I think, might be the best base stealer in the second base category or position category. And while he's not a big power guy, he's got a solid batting average, and he's a young guy in a lineup without a lot of offensive options. So he's only 22 years old. So I think there's a lot more he can do in his career. You can, if you need to dip down in the category two, guys like Beckham, and there's some depth, even though it may not seem like it at first.
Absolutely. There's plenty of depth, really. Now, if you had a couple sleepers to give the listening audience, who would you give them as a second baseman?
I'd say I kind of outlined a little Espinosa, just because you can get him in the second tier for if you're looking for power. I think another one that kind of may not be on some lists at all is Jed Giorko, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. He's a rookie with the Padres, and with Chase Headley injured temporarily right now, he's been playing third base primarily, but I think he'll slide back over to second when he's recovered. And he's a guy that he didn't produce a lot of stolen bases in the minor leagues, but he did have solid power. He hit, 15 home runs at just the AAA level when he was moved up last season. And pretty decent batting average too, so I think that's a guy who's a potential rookie of the year candidate if he can stay healthy and hit for a while, although that race can kind of emerge as the season goes on and guys are settling into roles.
I'll tell you what, Jerko is my guy. That's who I had too. I like him a lot. I watched him play against the Mets. You're right, he's going to move over to second base. He's going to get a lot of playing time this year. I like him. The other one I think is going to be okay is, I already named him, Gordon Beckham. I think he's going to be really good at some point. Now let's get over to the shortstop selection. And, you know, we talk about shortstops, and shortstop is a coveted position. You know, when you think about it, you've got Tulowitzki and Jose Reyes, Starlin Castro from the Cubs, Jimmy Rollins, Ian Desmond, who is right now pitiful at the plate. Ben Zobrist is another one. Asdrubal Cabrera. Hanley Ramirez is injured. You don't really know what's going to happen with him. But when you see the shortstops, do you go, okay, after Elvis Andrus, maybe you go, ooh, maybe there's not so much out there?
I kind of always, in my past, usually I seem to neglect shortstop in my drafts and kind of have to make do with whatever I can find. So I think there's still talent to find after guys like that. The interesting ones, like, I think that top tier, the top 10, Elvis Andrus, and but even guys are emerging like Alcides Escobar with the Royals, and J.J. Hardy can offer solid power for the position, and his batting average hasn't been too high in the last few years, but even guys like Gene Segura and Josh Rutledge can have solid value the last few years, especially.
I like Segura. He's and here's the list right now as of Sunday. We're recording this on Sunday, April the 7th. Jed Lowry is the top offensive producer at the shortstop position. Gene Segura, number two. Jose Reyes, number three. Troy Tulowitzki, number four. And let me see here. Ben Zobrist is going back and forth. He plays both positions. He's number five. So, but Jed Lowry, does he intrigue you? Because for me, and I've been listening to, because we do the Oakland A's report every week, and I've been listening to his name all spring, and I'm kind of high on him. I don't think he's taken in that many leagues, though, is he?
No, he's actually a great guy to get late. I think they're using him in multiple positions, kind of still figuring out that middle infield role probably for the long term. But, I mean, they definitely traded for a reason, and he's he's a switch hitter, so kind of I was looking at his splits, and there's really nothing to – there's no matchup issues with him, and he offers good power even for – and we have him projected for 17 home runs, and he's in a – I guess Oakland's not really considered too hitter-friendly of a ballpark, but I think he'll find a way to hit, and most guys do, regardless of the situation. Maybe his average won't be too high, but I think his position flexibility will keep him in the lineup every day too, especially with Oakland, where they're kind of a little thin at that – middle infield spot.
Yeah, I do remember towards the end of spring training, Bob Melvin, the manager at Oakland, said that we have to find a place to play Lowry every day because he is apparently incredible, but he's also injury prone, and that's the other issue. But there's so many shortstops out here, and like you say, you know, you leave that thin. I went for, you know what, I worked this year. I think I told you that I was going to work from the middle out instead of the out from the corners in like I used to do. And I was really happy because I got a couple guys. I got Jose Reyes in one of my drafts, and I was pretty happy. The one I was worried about, this is what I wanted to ask you the other day privately, of course, but I didn't because I was so busy I forgot. Derek Jeter. Now, he's still available. Is he someone you still look to as an offensive leader? I know he's injured, but last year, I don't think his numbers were an aberration, do you?
Yeah, I am always a little leery. I just don't I doubted it a little bit last year, and he still produces a decent, better than decent batting average. He ended up hitting .316 last year, so I think I should probably stop doubting it, but I think his days of probably hitting for solid home run totals might be in the past, although he still managed 15 last season. He'll definitely have the opportunity to score in that lineup. The latest I had heard, it's still, the timetable's very iffy with him. The latest I heard was they were hopeful for May 1st, but probably somewhere in that ballpark for a return. And I think if he's available and if you're thin on the middle infield, the flex spot or shortstop, he's worth a look, I think, still. Just because he offers decent batting average and can score runs, and those top of the order guys don't have as high RBI totals, but I think he can bring at least two categories pretty solidly still.
I think you're right. I think so. But you know what? That's someone that you look at down the road and see and wait and see, I think, because you'll probably have to trade for him in some leagues. But someone else that I've been noticing now, this could all be a fluke, but Pete Kosma from St. Louis, they're going to be basically a shortstop by committee until they make a trade or make a move or see who pans out. And I think they're going to ride the hot hand. Kosma's a guy who's riding the hot hand right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is, and he's kind of another one of those guys with where St. Louis just manufactures these players that just start producing as soon as they get to the team, and I think he's, it's a little uncertain. I'm not, I don't know a ton about him, like, historically, because he's only been, he got 72 at-bats in the majors last year and came up big for them down the stretch. So, I think he's worth definitely, if you have the availability and without gambling too much, I think worth a look if he has, if he's swinging a hot bat and seems to be getting regular starts, then it's definitely worth a look. But, I'm always a little conservative too, so I kind of wait and see how he produces for a little while.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, another guy that's right now has a good opportunity now that Roberts is out is Alexi Casilla from Baltimore. Do you pick up, when you play fantasy baseball, are you pretty much stuck with, you're stuck in your roster and you don't look for that or keep one guy and just kind of float them back and forth? You know what I mean? That I'm going to ride a hot hand today or whatever. Do you do that? Because I sometimes do.
Yeah, I think I kind of, it depends on the situation or the level of player. If it's one of my top offensive players, either just on the season or like prestige wise, if I have like a top tier guy like Braun, there's no reason, unless he's hurt, you want him in the lineup. But then kind of those like later guys that are a little more up and down, I usually play the matchups and just see, well, take into account how they've been hitting the last 7 to 15, somewhere in there. And then also their history against the starter that day. If I have, it's a little more time consuming looking day to day, but I also like to look and see how they've done against that pitcher. Because if they have really great numbers, it's worth putting them in for sure. And if they don't, then it's like definitely worth seeing what other guys have to offer too. And then I think guys like Casilla, he's definitely more, he's a good stolen base threat when he's in there. And Roberts, it's hard to know how long he'll be out there. I think it definitely looked pretty bad when he had it happen, but I'd heard like 3 to 4 weeks with the hamstring. That can always change, but Casilla didn't have the highest batting average last year with the Twins, but it's guys like that sometimes can definitely help fill a spot if you have a lot riding on Roberts, especially for your team.
Good answer. Do you have a couple sleepers? We probably name them all, maybe, but you probably have a couple more up your sleeve, right?
Yeah, I think I kind of just mentioned briefly, Gene Segura has started off pretty strong. I think there's a chance he could move up in the order later in the season. Right now, when guys are healthy now, Ramirez is out for the short term, and Braun has been day-to-day, but I think when he's, even wherever he is in the lineup, he's been solid batting average, and they project him to some, I mean, whether it's this year or the next few years, to eventually be a 15 to 20 home run hitter a season. This year we have him around 6, but he's already got his first under his belt, and he's got good speed too and can steal a base. I think his plate discipline's pretty solid considering how young he is and just the, really, he hasn't spent a lot of time in the major leagues either. So I like a guy like him especially. I have JJ Hardy on my team. I'm hoping that's a sleeper worth picking up just because of his history of power. Can be a little frustrating. I think he's one of the streakier players. So if he hits a home run, it seems like they come in bunches for him, especially. So I liked him a lot when he was in Milwaukee, and he can really help carry your team, and also can get a little cold at times too. So it's I mean, that's kind of the name of the game, but he's worth owning when he's on fire, especially.
I think you're right. I think Johnny Peralta, I would keep an eye on him because you never know with the Tigers. He has the ability, like he did last September, to just rake like crazy. And he also has the ability to swing and miss a lot. So, you know, you never know with him. Another one that I made the mistake already of dropping, only for some silly reason, Nick, I don't know why, but I wound up with only one catcher. So I had to have another catcher. So I had to drop someone, and I already had Reyes, so I dropped Alexi Ramirez. And that's starting to look kind of foolish right now. But I didn't have a choice, really.
Yeah, sometimes it just comes down to that, what you need on the team. And it can be painful, but it's understandable, definitely.
Well, it was horrific. But anyway, great stuff again. Once again, Nick, thank you so much for being a part of it.
Thanks again.
All right, we'll see you next week. You can find Nick at rotowire.com, and that's going to wrap up today's Phil Nason Show. Special thanks to Fantasy Baseball Cracker Jacks, Eric Pleiss, and RotoWire's Nick Falk for bringing us the bacon for your fantasy baseball. Tomorrow night, we'll be talking basketball with Andy Flint. On Thursday, Jamie and I will be talking about Brittany Griner and all a whole bunch of other stuff. And on Friday, we'll be doing the regular show with the A's and the Twins and the Mets and the Dodgers. Until then, y'all take care of yourselves, be good, and most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.